Lila goes on between Lord Damodar and Mother Yashoda. So often it is explained from the viewpoint of the Lord what he does, but here we will go to the viewpoint of the devotee. I think you must be knowing that Jiva Goswami describes that each evening in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj, the two young poets, Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta, are giving a delivery of their rendition of Krishna's divine pastimes. And this particular pastime is very, very exciting for them, because they actually appear in this pastime in a conditioned form when they were conditioned souls and when they were delivered by Lord Damodar. They describe that there is this particular pastime, a particular purpose of this pastime, that is that anyone who listens to this is becoming overwhelmed with the glory of Krishna and is delivered from material existence. That's what happened to them when they were in this pastime. So Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta, they describe that this pastime has the revelation of Krishna's glories and opulence as its only purpose. Only a person who would like to trick and mislead others will say this pastime is not glorifying Krishna. And Snigdha Kanta says this with an open throat, that is, he's very moved as he says it. He says this pastime brought about the breaking of the two Arjuna trees. He's one of these trees. is showing the extraordinary glory of Krishna. And then he describes how once little Krishna was sleeping, and as he was just opening his eyes, he called for his mother Yashoda, who came, and as she saw her little boy, her body is, that is what the women wear to cover the upper part of their body, became wet with motherly tears and like a motherly milk, and as a rain cloud showered, a cloud showers forth milk, the breasts of Mother Yashoda just pouring forth the milk to satisfy her little boy Krishna. Now, when Krishna was only half satisfied, she saw the pot somewhere else boiling over, and she immediately ran to save the milk from boiling. "Stop, stop, stop," says Madhu Kanta. "I can't believe what you tell," Snigdha Kanta. "How could Mother Yashoda, whose only purpose is to satisfy Krishna, run to the milk pot? You're just telling something which is not correct." "Listen, listen," says Snigdha Kanta. "You who don't understand, Madhu Kanta, you must know that Mother Yashoda considered everything in her household worthless. Only she considered the gold, the pillars, and everything worthless. Only what had a direct relationship to Krishna's service was considered valuable in this milk hand. Therefore, because she wanted to serve Krishna, she wanted to save the milk for service. Okay, says Madhukata. So the pastime is described like this. Madhukata interjects and some new points come out, and Krishna of course gets angry, as we all know, and in his anger his teeth become visible, which are like little pearls and which reflect the redness of his lips. Described like this. And then runs from room to room, unbolts the doors, and finds wooden objects to pile upon each other so that he can reach the yogurt pots which are hung in the ceiling. And finally, Mother Yashoda, who follows his her little darling boy through the different rooms and different quarters of Braj, by tracing the footprints of which are butter smeared, huh? Finally she catches him. She catches him because Krishna turns around, decides my mother is too tired from trying to catch me. Now I will employ Yoga Maya so that I, who cannot be caught by anyone, can be caught by my mother. And then Mother Yashoda takes the head of her little boy, and although Krishna bears it here and there, she forcibly turns the head of her little boy to look right into the head, and she sees how Krishna tries to hide the arms and the other limbs which are smeared with ghee so that Mother Yashoda cannot see. Yeah, and Mother Yashoda said, here, Krishna, you are a thief. See this stick which I have kept for thieves in this house. I show this stick to monkeys and I show this stick to thieves. Today Bhagavati informed me that if you want to scare a monkey, you should not beat the stick on the ground, because then the monkey will become too much agitated. You just show him the stick. So Mother Yashoda says, this is here, see the stick. So Krishna begins to shout, don't use the stick. Mother Yashoda shouts back, thief, thief. This is how the two argue. In this way, smiling very beautifully, Mother Yashoda debated with her son. Her son said, don't, and she said, thief, thief. And she said, aha, you are the king of thieves. Then Krishna says, if I am a thief, I must have inherited this quality of a thief. That means the whole dynasty is only thieves. Are you saying this? Otherwise, from where would I have this genetic programming of a thief? It was the dynasty. If I am a thief, then all in my father's dynasty are thieves. The Mother Yashoda debates and says, then tell me, if you're not a thief, how did the butter pot become broken? Krishna smiles and says, it was broken by the stick of the Supreme Controller. Mother Yashoda thinks Krishna is her son, not Ishvara or Parameshwara, but Krishna knows he, at this moment he is Krishna, therefore he says he sees the Lord. And then tell me, who gave the ghee to the monkeys? Krishna retorts back, he who created all the monkeys. So even as Mother Yashoda rebuked her little robber son, her heart was full of love. Now, said Mother Yashoda, tell me honestly, how did all these things happen? You have said some clever words. You have spoken of the Supreme Controller, indicating that everything moves under his control. I'm surprised, although you are a child, you speak such philosophy. Tell me a little bit more now in truth, who has directly broken and not indirectly broken the yogurt pot? Krishna says, as you were running to catch me, mother, you were a little careless, and the anchor belts on your feet broke the yogurt pot. How am I at fault? But then tell me, how do you have so much ghee on your arm? It is like this. The Supreme Monkey King sent one monkey in this house to steal the butter. And I, in order to protect this house, grabbed this monkey and stopped him. How am I at fault? Mother, but then why are you running away? Mother, I see that without any reason you have raised this stick against me. I think you lost control of your mind for a moment, and therefore, like a thief, I ran away. Krishna is just too clever. Then finally Mother Yashoda says, this is enough now. I just won't tolerate such nonsense talk of my little boy. He's so afraid of this stick that I don't want to break his character. And she throws the stick away and takes it. This shows you how wonderful the love of Mother Yashoda is. A ribbon that's like a band which women use to tie their hair together. She takes this ribbon to bind her little boy Krishna. But as we have heard many times, the ribbon is too short, it doesn't fit around the waist, and now all the other Braj ladies who have come there and who have said to Mother Yashoda, see, we told you previously that Krishna is stealing from our houses, now he steals from your house, now you are convinced, now we bind him. So they all take their hairbands and they all tie it together, but it's always short by two fingers. Again and again, Mother Yashoda struggles against Krishna's at adamant refusal to be bound, and again and again she only meets defeat. When Yashoda is finally totally frustrated and angry, Krishna thinks in his mind, let it be. When he thinks like this, his ways suddenly become bound by the one. Kishori, you can bring, give us this ribbon. By the one ribbon, which is just only this big. Let us say this big. Of Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda thinks, previously I needed so many ribbons from all the Braj ladies and it was not enough. Then I put the ropes which I used to bind the cows together, and now all of a sudden my ribbon is sufficient and all the other ropes and ribbons are unnecessary. I don't understand what is going on any longer. So in this way she became bewildered. Mother Yashoda finally binds him up, and then on the mortar to punish him is like a thief which needs imprisonment to think deeply about his mischief, no? And to, in this way, reform his misdeeds. So Krishna is dealt with like a thief. He's at the bound, not by the hands, which is a little cruel, but by the waist or the mortar. But then Krishna sees these two Arjuna trees, huge trees, which swing in the fresh breeze which comes from the Yamuna. Krishna thinks, now I'm really going to pay back to Mother Yashoda. And he pulls, accompanied by many little friends who are surrounding him, he walks right towards the trees and pulls the mortar behind him, and the mortar gets stuck because it has a twisted angle, huh, between the trees. And then Krishna pulls these two Arjuna trees down and breaks them. And for half a moment, it's described, there was this thundering sound of kata kata when they broke. Kara kara kata. It was a rumbling sound which knocked the people of Braj unconscious, and they fell to the ground. They lost their consciousness. It reminds us of Lord Ramachandra breaking the bow of Shivji, and everyone who stood nearby and heard the thundering crack of the bow lost momentarily his consciousness. So Krishna breaks the twin Arjuna trees and everyone falls down unconscious, except for the little boys who are running with Krishna, because they enjoy the pastime of Krishna so much and relish it so much that they are protected against the thundering sound. Only those who are not directly in the pastime but who do something else, they are overwhelmed by the crackling sound. Now, hearing from far away the thunderous sound, the leaders of the people of Braj became afraid that there is no thunder, there can't be any thunder because there are no clouds, there is no great wind, and there is no huge elephant here who breaks trees. How could it have happened? What was going on? And then the leaders also ask, why don't we see any people any longer in Braj? We know they have all fallen unconscious and lie on the ground. But these leaders who were far away discussing something else are surprised because everything is vacant. Everyone is fell down. Braj is totally silent after that sound. Now Krishna is amongst the cowherd boys. His face is playful, effulgent, and he smiles like anything about what he has just done. It seems a great monsoon of bliss comes forth from him and showers happiness. And the people surrounding it see the trees are down on the ground, the boys are there. They ask, what happened? What happened? The boy said, Our Krishna just pulled the trees down. The people who are all in the concept that Krishna is just the darling little boy who can't, of course, perform such acrobatic or strong feats, this can't be. Now, I want to now stress again on this relationship between Krishna and Nanda and Yashoda, and also Nanda Maharaj. Suddenly Nanda Maharaj arrives at the place, and Krishna lovingly calls out to his father, "Oh father, Pitaji, Pitaji." Maharaj Nanda sees the tree, sees his boy, and is totally agitated at the heart and unties the rope. Krishna hadn't done it personally, and we will see soon why not. So Nanda Maharaj unties the rope and he takes his boy, who weeps, kisses him on the face, and again and again asks, "Son, tell me, what wicked person bound you to this grinding mortar?" Krishna, with a choked voice, comes very close to Nanda Maharaj's ear. He's just chota, very small. And he bends Nanda Maharaj over and whispers in his ear, "Father, mother did it."
Wow.
When Nanda Maharaj heard how Yashoda had acted in such an irresponsible way, he felt a lot of disgust with his wife in his heart. Krishna wants to get back on his to his mother. He was burned with pain in his heart, and he just took Krishna to a private area. And he heard everything from the little boys, that Krishna went to the pulling, it was bound by Mother Yashoda to the grinding mortar. He pulled the grinding mortar between the two trees and then pulled, and the trees made this terrible sound, kada 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 kada, and broke. And then from the broken trees, says the boy, two effulgent personality came with crowns and golden earrings, and they surrounded little Krishna, our little friend Krishna, and made parikrama. And then Krishna told them something. This was a little complicated for us, we didn't understand 100%, and sent them back to somewhere where they had come from. And the adults, the grown-up people, heard this. Their hearts were filled with doubts. Can't be. happy. So Nanda Maharaj didn't say anything. He was just very, very disturbed that his boy had been in such a danger. What if the tree had fallen upon him? So he just did his regular duties, went to the Jamuna, bathed. Then he got some brahmanas together to give blessings to his boy, that everything would be all right, gave charity and accepted his meal. Mother Yashoda was so embarrassed and so full of sorrow that she sat somewhere deep in the house and did not dare to come out. She didn't dare to see Krishna and she didn't dare to see her husband. She didn't also feel inspired to talk to anyone who came to see how she was. So she didn't also dare to cook for Krishna. On that day, Rohini took full charge and arranged that the maid servants served the meal. Krishna was very joyous. Everything was going according to plan. Maharaj Nanda enjoyed his meal, but then he took his two boys with him to the bed where he rested, and the two boys rested blissfully next to him. Mother Yashoda was not in the picture. Then he returned to the barn, milked the cows, and then Nanda Maharaj, instead of asking Yashoda to breastfeed Krishna, made personally with his own hand some of the milk, put sugar in it, boiled it, and when it was cooled down, gave it to Krishna and Balaram. Mother Yashoda was not asked to come nearby. Then Nanda Maharaj, who thought, my son has been given back from death, gave personally a school lesson to Krishna. No teacher, no Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj does everything himself because he feels, my God, people are so irresponsible in my kingdom. I will take care from now on of Krishna totally alone. Then, accompanied by his blissful little boys, Nanda Maharaj went back to his palace and enjoyed the evening meal. Then Rohini and other intelligent ladies came to Nanda Maharaj and said, O King, Krishna's mother has not even eaten one morsel of food. She has not spoken to anyone. All the ladies in the palace fast also. What is to be done? Nanda Maharaj had a sad smile on his face. What is our fault? Yes, we became angry, but for a good reason. See how cultured the culture of Braj is. Nanda Maharaj has not said anything. He has only acted in a way, taking personal charge of everything. Mother Yashoda knows my husband is very angry at me. He never has done this before. Then, smiling, Braj's king asked his son, Dear one, will you now go to your mother? Krishna replied, No, I will go with you, father. Then the wives of Maharaj Nanda's elder brothers came. You know, there's trouble in the palace. And they asked small Krishna, at whose breast will you drink today? Krishna replied, I will drink today warm cow milk mixed with sugar. No other milk. Then Raja's king Nanda asked with a soft smile, why will you not go to your brother's mother, Rohini, and drink from her? See, on that day, Rohini and Balaram had gone far away. Mother Yashoda showed the stick to little Krishna. He had called out, Rohini, Balaram, help me against my angry mother. Krishna is very naughty. And they were far away, they couldn't hear anything. So Krishna says, Rohini has abandoned me today. Abandoned means forsaken, given me up. Hearing these words, Rohini started to weep and said, Krishna, why are you so hard and cruel today? You bring to your mother great suffering. Krishna pretended he didn't hear Rohini's words. Because, you know, in his heart he's full of love for Mother Yashoda. And he only does this out of the greatest love. So she, with tear-filled eyes, I mean, he has heard Rohini say, why are you so cruel to your mother? But he pretends he has not heard anything like this. But his eyes fill with tears, and he looks at the face of Nanda Maharaj. So beautiful. So Rohini said, this is enough. And she signals with one eye to Balaram, take your brother to his mother. And Balaram goes to Krishna and tries to catch his hand, but Krishna takes his hand away and just looks at his father. And Krishna jumps at the lap of Nanda Maharaj's lap. He takes both of his arms and encircles Nanda Maharaj's neck so that no one can pull him away from his father and bring him to his mother, not even strong Balaram. Krishna, see how Krishna just is, that's his way. He really brings out the love and brings the love and the affection to the boiling point. His mother is just, Krishna doesn't want to see me any longer. He just avoids me. And so on. Now, Krishna starts to cry, and Nanda Maharaj looks at Krishna. And because he's the father, he sees something in Krishna. Something which Krishna totally wants to hide. He sees that Krishna has so much love for Yashoda in his heart. So Nanda Maharaj wants to bring out this love into the open. And suddenly he raises his hand and says, son, if you give one word to me, I will take this hand and beat your mother Yashoda. Just say it. I will ferociously start beating her. Now, this is too much for Krishna. He can't tolerate this. He takes the hand of his father. Suddenly, to stop him. Unable to tolerate these words, Krishna suddenly grabbed his father's hand to stop him. Again smiling and thinking how Mother Yashoda has a kind and affectionate heart, Maharaj Nanda said, "Now imagine something would happen to your mother. What would you do then?" And by saying, "Imagine something would happen to your mother," he hints at the eventuality of a sudden death of Yashoda. What would you do then? Now Krishna, this is too much. Krishna begins to manifest the nature of a small boy totally in love with his mother. And thirsting for his mother, he suddenly announces, "Where's mother? Where's my mother? Where's my mother? I must go to her." Shyly, he approaches Rohini and sits in her lap because she knows Rohini is the best friend of Yashoda. Rohini smiles and takes Krishna by the hand and brings her into the house, deep into the interior of the house where Mother Yashoda sits fasting. Then Krishna just runs to Yashoda and embraces her on the neck. Now listen how Jiva Goswami describes the meeting of Mother Yashoda and Krishna. It's so beautiful. "As a cow touches her calf, Mother Yashoda touched her son's head and then chin." Have you seen how carefully cows touch their calves? So, "As a cow makes a soft sound, so did she. Her heart melting with a mother's love, she wept, and everyone around her started to weep and weep and weep." So Mother Yashoda then makes everyone peaceful by taking Krishna and giving her the milk of her breast. Mother Yashoda had not seen Nanda for 3 whole days. This episode which we have just heard took place 3 days. The separation of Krishna from Yashoda. From that day on, Maharaj Nanda signaled to Krishna, "Grab the garment of your mother and bring your mother to me." And Krishna pulled his mother to Yashoda, his mother Yashoda to Nanda Maharaj, who is very happy to see Yashoda. From that day on, the ladies of Braj jokingly called Krishna by a new name, Damoda. But this means literally, "He whose waist was bound by a rope." But they interpret it differently. See, in this Leela, Krishna had shown how he enchanted the heart of Nanda, how he enchanted means almost miraculously bewitched the heart of Yashoda. He made her totally wild with longing and love for him, little boys. And so they said, "Dark Krishna enchants the heart of everyone." I think when we hear how Krishna so cleverly wanted to extract the love of his mother Yashoda by first of all disagreeing that mother Yashoda was not feeding him fully but only half. He was disagreeing with this, that he didn't want the milk or anything else, he wanted his mother. This is very endearing. And when this was not the case, he was really not satisfied. This was also there in the Govardhan Leela, when he saw how Nanda Maharaj wanted to give this sacrifice to Indra. He was not satisfied. And then he redirected the sacrifice to be given to Giriraj, which is himself. But again, in a little... But then when Indra revenged and sent the thunderstorm, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna saw again that Nanda Maharaj took shelter at Indra. See, when there is either no rain or too much rain, there is an Indra stotra, that is a prayer to Indra. And he's detected how Nanda Maharaj, when all this rain came, sat down in his house and began to chant the Indra stotra. It's something like 40 verses or so. And he saw, Krishna saw this, and he was very angry. He with his father. What can Indra do? Nothing. He is a little atom. I can create and destroy thousands of Indras in a twinkling of an eye. Then Krishna took up the Govardhan Hill to prove this. Krishna was not satisfied, or is not satisfied when his devotees go to someone else and don't care 100% for him. He wants that 100%. And we want to keep back from Krishna. That's our unfortunate situation. He wants the 100% for Krishna. But he gets it always, and the way he does it is he makes us crazy with love for him. And when we are crazy with love for Krishna, then we also want to voluntarily and happily give 100%. So let us see if there's some more information. So this is also glorifying Mother Yashoda, beating the great kettle drum of Mother Yashoda's glories. Srila Shukadev Goswami filled the three worlds with its sound. Shukadev Goswami has glorified Mother Yashoda in the Srimad Bhagavatam in verse 10, 9, 20. So, after Snigdha Kanta had described this pastime, he spoke in conclusion, O Nanda, O King of the Gopas, your two sons, your son, Krishna, transformed those two Arjuna trees into two effulgent devotees. Now another day, Nanda Maharaj comes into this assembly and sees Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta, and he says, Child Snigdha Kanta, oh Snigdha Kanta, the other day you spoke about that these two trees were transformed into effulgent devotees. Can you say more about it? Snigdha Kanta doesn't want to speak about what he did previously, you know, that he was this, this son of Kuvera who had enjoyed himself with his brother, with many, many women in a drunken state in the Ganga. He's just so ashamed to say this in Braj, you know. He remembers, and I don't know, I have not read this far in the Gopalachandra, but somehow I think he will speak about how Krishna saved him. I feel this is a very, very important, not just important, but a wonderful leela in this month. You know, we are also like trees, dull, ignorant, but if we offer Lord Damodar throughout the month of Kartik, just the simple lamp for this very simple service, Krishna or Lord Damodar will take us into his eternal kingdom of God. So therefore in the month of Kartik I'm always trying to offer a lamp to Lord Damodar, even if sometimes we can only do it in the mind. But today we had the great opportunity to do it with all of you, and we feel extremely blessed, so blessed that I would like to give presents to all of you. Everyone will get a present today. I will start.